Let me pray for us, and then we'll dig into Genesis 12 together. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. We thank you that you're a speaking God, and we get the immense privilege of hearing you speak to us as your word is read, and as we think and consider it and meditate upon it. We pray that your Spirit, who caused the scriptures to be written, your Spirit who is present with us today, the Spirit poured out on that day of Pentecost, would be our teacher and our guide, would open our ears and our hearts to receive your word, to hear it, to take heed of it, and to put it into practice in our lives. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Where is history heading, do you think? What is the future of this world? Those are the questions that we're thinking about this morning as we consider this really crucial passage in God's Word in Genesis chapter 12. We're starting this morning a new series in the book of Genesis. We looked at the first 11 chapters of Genesis last year in term 3, and then now this term we're going to finish up the book 12 to 15. The word Genesis means beginnings. And the book tells us about a number of beginnings. The first verse of Genesis, the first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning. Genesis tells us about the beginnings of the world, how out of nothing God created everything that exists, how he made it all to reflect himself, a God of order and beauty and abundance. It also tells us about the beginnings of humanity, how God made people as the pinnacle of his creation. Unlike anything else, people were created in the image of God and given the task of ruling over the rest of creation under God's authority. Last year, we journeyed through chapters 1 to 11, and we saw humanity's descent, how they threw off God's authority and made a mess of the world. The main theme of those chapters, at least from chapter 3 to 11, the main theme is sin, which leads to judgment. Five times in those chapters, we're told that God cursed the world. There's this downward spiral as humanity descends into greater and greater evil. There have been some glimmers of hope, but generally speaking, the story's bad. Things in the world are bad. And so Genesis 12 marks a hugely significant turning point in the story. You could say that the Bible is a book of two halves, and not Old Testament and New Testament as you might think, but Genesis 1 to 11 and Genesis 12 to the end, Revelation 22. In this passage, God unveils his program for world history. And that's going to be our focus this morning. Next week, we'll look a bit more at the person of Abraham, his character, his struggle, his heroism. But this morning, our focus is on God and his plan for the world that he's made. And we've got 2 points to guide us through. God makes a promise to bless the world, and God will bring blessing to the world through his people. God makes a promise to bless the world, and God will bring that blessing through his people. Firstly, God makes a promise to bless the world. Into this situation of downward spiral, God speaks. It's reminiscent of the very start of the Bible, the creation, where God, into a world of darkness and chaos and emptiness, speaks, and his word brings light and order and fullness. So now, into humanity, that it is full of disorder and curse, God speaks a word of blessing. He calls a man called Abram, later renamed Abraham, and I'm just going to call him Abraham because that's how we commonly know him. He calls this man Abraham, and he makes a huge, huge promise to this man. Notice God takes the initiative. He has a plan, and he commits himself to bring it about. 7 times in verses 1 to 3, verses 2 to 3, Seven times he says, I will. I will. I will. He doesn't leave humanity to try and sort out the mess in the world themselves. And we've seen in the first 11 chapters, there's little chance of humanity doing that. He doesn't even wait for humanity to ask for help, to cry out, God, help us. God takes the initiative. He acts out of sovereign grace. And he says, I will do it. Our son Jacob has recently got into watching Bob the Builder. He absolutely loves it. Very often he picks up a phone and says, Bob, Bob, Bob. And when we say to him, can he fix it? He nods his head with this vigorous, huge nod. Can he fix it? Yes, he can. So here in Genesis 12, the world is in a mess, but God says, I can fix it. And I will. I will. I will. Now, the promise that God makes here has several elements to it. We can simplify it into three: people, land, and blessing. People, land, and blessing. And these three features make up what the Bible calls the kingdom of God. The kingdom is made up of God's people living in God's place, enjoying God's blessing and rule. So people, God promises in verse 2, have a look at that. Verse 2, he says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation. Later in chapter 15, he reaffirms the promise. He says that Abraham's descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. In chapter 17, he says, Abraham will not just be the father of one nation, but the father of many nations. Kings will come from his descendants. So there's the promise of people, lots of them, which is striking given that we've just read Abraham's wife Sarah can't have kids. But more on that next week. People. Secondly, land. God promises in verse 7 that he will give the land of Canaan to Abraham's offspring. And that promise again is reaffirmed in chapter 15 and 17. And then thirdly, blessing. God promises to bless Abraham. His name will be great. God will bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. And through him, all peoples on the earth will be blessed. And it is this last element of God's promise which is really the focus. God is promising that he is going to bless the world. Five times in chapters 1 to 11, we're told God cursed the world. Now, within this promise, within two short verses, five times, God says he will bless. And it's this promise to bless the world that really sets the trajectory for the whole of the Bible story to come. As you read through the Bible, you can trace the fulfillment of this promise. You can trace through those three elements, people, land, and blessing. This is the grid through which to read the Bible, as God does what he said he would do. You know, when our girls were growing up, I made up a song as we kind of read bits of the Bible. A very simple song. I'm not going to sing it to you, but the words very simply said, God promised to Abraham children, land, and blessing, and the Lord always does what he says he will do. That's the nature of a promise, isn't it? That you do what you said you will do. And the Bible is the story of God keeping his promise, doing what he said he would do, keeping the promise he made to Abraham to bless the world. That, if you like, that's the melody that you can trace through the Bible story. You know, one of my favorite pieces of music is Benjamin Britten's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. Anyone know it? Yes? It's fantastic. I mean, he's a British composer, so I'll excuse you, but you should look it up. Right at the start of that piece, you hear the melody, the tune, which is then repeated time and again through the 15-minute piece as different instruments pick it up and play it. And then towards the end, there's this fugue, And different instruments are kind of playing over each other, and it's a bit messy. But then right at the end, the whole orchestra comes together into this huge crescendo of sound, and you hear the tune one last time as the horns and the other brass instruments play it out, and it is spine-tinglingly brilliant. Well, this promise in Genesis 12 is like that melody. That piece kind of reflects the gospel, reflects the story of the Bible. Because this promise that God makes to Abraham is the melody that comes back again and again and again as you read through the story. And that promise finally reaches its climax and fulfillment at the end, which will be better than spine-tinglingly brilliant. But this promise doesn't just direct the story of the Bible like the story of some novel you might pick up from the library. This promise redirects the course of world history, because God is the creator and the ruler of this world, and in this promise he's unveiling his program for world history. God has a purpose. He is a missionary God. Although humanity has rebelled and rejected him, God has not given up. He is absolutely committed to pursuing humanity and restoring creation to what he originally intended for it. He is not sitting up in heaven, idle and indifferent. No, he is actively at work, and nothing will prevent him from achieving his goal. This is God's program for world history. He has promised to bless the world. This is what God is about, bringing blessing to this world, restoring the blessing of his original creation. This is what he's committed himself to. Did anyone watch the royal wedding yesterday? More than have listened to Benjamin Britten. That's fine. A marriage is a covenant, isn't it? And this promise to Abraham is sometimes called a covenant. A covenant is, you know, basically a technical word for a promise. It's a solemn commitment between two parties. Did you like the royal wedding? The American preacher, he was pretty cool, wasn't he? Went on a lot about fire. But the most important thing that happened yesterday was when Harry and Meghan said, "I will," and made promises to each other to love and cherish each other come what may. You know, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. I did think that's unlikely to be something they have to experience. But they promised to be faithful to each other, come what may, to the end of their lives. And their life now as a married couple is all about living out those promises they made yesterday. Their life is about living out the promises they made, doing what they said they would do. Well, that is what God did in Genesis 12. He made a promise. He made a commitment, a covenant. And he is a promise-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God. And he will do what he said he will do. He's committed himself to bless this world. And nothing will stop him from keeping that promise. So God makes a promise to bless the world. Secondly, God will bring blessing to the world through his people. See, the promise to Abraham is not only that he will be blessed, but that he will be a blessing. Did you notice that? Look at the end of verse 3 again. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's not that God's going to bless Abraham and then God's going to bless other people here and there and everywhere. No, God's going to bless Abraham and his descendants, and then God's blessing will come to all peoples on earth through Abraham and his descendants. Abraham is blessed to be a blessing. God's blessing is not meant to stop with Abraham, but to be passed on to others. In that sense, Abraham's not a cup, but a conduit. You know, Abraham and his descendants, they're not a cup to just kind of collect God's blessings for themselves, but a conduit, like a pipe through which God's blessing is to pass on to others. Well, I was thinking maybe a better image would be a funnel. Because a pipe, it all just kind of passes straight through. But a funnel, kind of, there's some collecting, but also passing on. Abraham and his descendants, they get to enjoy God's blessing. They are blessed. But it doesn't stop with them. It passes on through them to others. Like we read in that psalm at the beginning, Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Why? Just so that we can kind of enjoy all of that great blessing? No. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all peoples. Abraham and his descendants have a purpose, and it's a missionary purpose, reflecting the missionary God. Abraham was chosen out of all the peoples on earth. He was chosen, but he was chosen for the sake of all the peoples on earth. A bit later in the story, when Abraham's descendants have grown into a nation, God constitutes them as his people, and he says in Exodus 19, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now notice, Israel was chosen out of the nations to be God's treasured possession. They have a special privileged relationship with God. But they are chosen to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, which means they have a purpose beyond themselves. Priests were mediators between God and other people. And Israel as a nation is being called to be a mediator, to represent other nations to God, and to represent God to the other nations, to reflect in their communal life the character of God so that others might come to know him and enjoy his blessing. God's people are chosen out of the nations for the nations. They're people with a purpose, blessed to be a blessing. Now, as you read on in the story, you find that Abraham and his descendants are not that impressive. Abraham will sin. The very next story, it's pretty shocking. His son Isaac will be a wimp. The next son Jacob is a trickster and deceiver all the way through. Of his 12 sons, one sleeps with his father's concubine. Another one sleeps with his daughter-in-law. 10 of them hate their younger brother and can't decide whether to kill him or sell him as a slave. And these are the patriarchs. These are the fathers of the nation of Israel. But God remains faithful to his promise. He doesn't give up on them. These are the people he's chosen. He doesn't wipe them out, but he preserves them and protects them. And eventually, a descendant of Abraham is born. His name is Jesus. And he is the one through whom God's blessing comes to all peoples on the earth. As Peter says on the day of Pentecost, which we read in Acts 2, Jesus is the one through whom God's blessing is poured out to the nations. See, the promise to Abraham is fulfilled not in a nation, but ultimately in one person. Jesus is the descendant of Abraham who brings blessing to all. Peter says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Messiah. And the people ask, well, what should we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Through Jesus, the promise to Abraham, the promise of blessing comes to people of all nations, even Australians. We get to be part of this promise that God made to Abraham all those years ago. Through Jesus, a new people of God are formed. Not just people who can trace their physical descent to Abraham, but people who share the faith of Abraham As we come to Jesus, put our trust in him, we're gathered into the people of God. The promises of God are ours. And we're the people who are now blessed to be a blessing. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a missionary people, a people with a purpose. This is the people that Abel has been baptized into this morning. And it's our prayer that he will be both blessed and a blessing. That's why we said those words to Abel. God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now shine as a light to the glory of God the Father. As God's people, we have a great privilege, but we also have a great purpose. Let me finish with this story. It's not a true story, but it speaks of truth. It's like a parable. On a dangerous stretch of coastland, there was a life-saving station, like a coast guard. Just a basic hut with a small kitchen with a kettle and a microwave, and just one boat. But the few devoted members of the life-saving station were committed to going out day and night in search of the lost on this dangerous stretch of the coast. As time went on, more and more people wanted to join the station. People who had been saved wanted to become part of it, and others in the community wanted to support its work. New boats were bought, new crews were trained. Some of the members were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped, so they kind of renovated the building. They put in some nice furniture, they took out the old kitchen and put in a new one that could cater for all the members of the station. And it produced some pretty nice meals, and members of the community started coming along as a kind of social gathering place, became a bit of a club. As time went on, fewer members were interested in going out to sea on life-saving missions, and they began to complain. The crew members smell a bit when they come in, and all this life-saving equipment gets in the way of our bingo nights. At the next meeting of the life-saving station, there was a split, and a vote was taken, and the decision was made. Those who wanted to save lives should leave and go and build some life-saving station elsewhere. It's a tragic story in many ways, isn't it? Something which was meant to be a rescue service for the wretched had become a club for the comfortable. They'd lost their purpose. Where is history heading? What is the future of this world? God has told us. He has spoken. He's made a promise to Abraham. He's revealed his plan, his program for the world. Begun in the people of Israel, fulfilled in the person of Jesus, and continuing today through the church. God will bring to completion what he has started. He will do what he said he will do. We can stake our lives on the promises of God. And the call for us today is to come to Jesus, if we've not yet, to come and be part of what God is doing, to come and be part of this people of God who received the promises and blessing of God. And for those who have come to Jesus and are part of this people, to not forget our purpose, but to get with the program. To get with the program. Because this is where history is heading. This is what life is about. God is building his kingdom and bringing his blessing to the world. We get to be a part of that. We get to be blessed. We get to be a blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God who has spoken into the mess and chaos, disorder and evil of this world. You have spoken and committed yourself to bring blessing, to restore blessing to this creation, to restore humanity to your original intention. We thank you that promise has been kept, that you're a covenant-keeping God begun in the nation of Israel, fulfilled in the person of Jesus, and that we now get to be a part of it, a part of your people. Blessed to be a blessing. Please help us to see who we are, to see the purpose that we have. Please fill us with your Spirit, that we might be faithful to your calling, that we might be a missionary people who take the good news of Jesus, the promise of God fulfilled in him, that we might take that message to all nations. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.